Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It opens our eyes and our hearts to see you, Lord, in ways we never imagined. Lord, help us grasp the understanding of your message today. Help us to keep focused on you, Lord, in these troubled times in which we live. For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, many folk are well into the precepts course in John's Gospel. If you have read all of John's Gospel, you will by now have noted that there are several signs of miracles in John's Gospel. If you go to chapter 20, you have verses 30 and 31, what has been known as the purpose statement of John, his reason for writing the book, and he is very clear about it. This is an evangelicalistic book. Verses 30 and 31 of chapter 20 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you believe in Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There we have at least two purposes of John in writing his gospel. He wants to prove that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah of God. And he uses these signs, these miracles to do that, in proving that he is the Son of God. He wants to prompt people to faith, belief in Christ, in order that they might be saved. Now, John, as he writes his gospel, he presents his evidence of the deity of Christ and the messiahship of Jesus in a threefold manner. I want you to first see of all, he presents these signs, these miracles that Jesus performed. Then secondly, he gives us the words that Jesus spoke, his teaching. Then thirdly, he gives us the testimony of witnesses who knew the Lord Jesus Christ, who saw his miracles, who heard his words and believed him. Now Matthew, Mark and Luke, what we call the synoptic gospels, really the theme of them is come and hear. But in John, though we hear that Jesus says, and in John chapter 7, we hear a soldier say, never a man like this man. Never a man spoke like this man. John's gospel is more about come and see. Not just come and hear, but come and see. What Jesus has done, and we have 58 references to hearing in John's gospel, but 67 references to seeing. So his words are in John, of course, and we hear them, but his works are seen to prove that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. In John's Gospel especially, we see Jesus moving and acting in power. So we have these miracles or signs. There are seven of them, and John builds his Gospel around them. The first in chapter 2, Jesus turns the water into wine, and we will look at that shortly. The second was the healing of the nobleman's son in chapter 4. The third was the healing of the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda in chapter 5. The fourth was the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6. The fifth was Jesus walking on water and calming the storm in chapter 6. The sixth was the healing of the man born blind from birth. And the seventh was chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. John gives us the miracles Jesus performed, the words that he spoke, and the testimony of witnesses that knew Jesus. We have seven witnesses in John's gospel who declare that he is the Son of God. The Lord Jesus himself declared himself to be the Son of God. John 5:25. Most assuredly, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Again in John 10, verses 36, he said, "What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do they accuse me of blasphemy, because I said, I am the Son of God?" So he testified of it himself. But then there are seven other witnesses. John the Baptist is the first. In chapter 1, verse 34, he says, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. The second is Nathanael in chapter 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And the third is Peter in chapter 6, verse 69. "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The fourth is the man born blind in chapter 9. And in verse 35 to 37, Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he says, basically, "Show him to me. Who is he? That I might believe in him." And Jesus says, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." The fifth witness was Martha in John chapter 11. And we read in verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." The sixth is Thomas. Doubting Thomas, as we know him. In John 20, 28, it says, "Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God." The seventh witness is John, the apostle himself, who is writing this gospel. In chapter 20, verse 31, that we've already read, "These signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." All of this, the miracles he performed, the words that he spoke, and the witnesses who knew him and encountered him, all of this is evidence that demands a verdict. And that is why John gives it to us. He wants us to believe and be prompted to trust in Christ as the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah. The second chapter of John covers two events. First is the miracle of turning water into wine. The second is Jesus driving the moneylenders out of the temple complex. A common theme of the Gospel of John is contrast. And the two stories in this chapter are very different. One is joyful and quiet. The other is scolding and public. The miracle at the wedding is the first of seven signs that John uses to prove that Jesus is God. Wedding celebrations in that era were spread out over several days, and it was difficult to predict when guests would show up. Traveling to the wedding site could take days, so it was the host's responsibility to provide enough food and drink for all the guests who came. Jesus' act of turning water into wine for the sake of the married couple wasn't just a gift. It was a way to save them from extreme embarrassment. But it was also done in quiet, almost secretive way. So far as we know, no one except a few of the disciples, Jesus' mother Mary, and the servants even knew it happened. John's gospel is the only one that records this miracle. The changing of the water into wine was also a powerful symbol of Jesus' purpose. The six water jugs were used for purification from sin. The six is the biblical number of man and of imperfection. Wine is a symbolic of blood. The miracle's meaning was as much about Jesus replacing ritual purification with divine blood as anything else. His participation in a simple, joyful event also explains his compassion for people. But this didn't stop his enemies from criticizing him. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." That can be found in Luke. John's gospel is meant to approach Jesus' ministry from a different perspective than the other three gospels. While Matthew and Mark and Luke all mention Jesus clearing the temple late in his ministry, John places this event very early in his ministry. Could it be that the most likely reason for this is that Jesus actually cleared the temple twice? This would have made the second event even more offensive to the local religious leaders and accelerated their hatred of Jesus. Jesus' anger at the situation in the temple was not because of money itself. Pilgrims could not easily travel with sacrificial animals, so it made sense to provide sacrifices for them to buy near to the temple. But what bothered Jesus was the way in which business was being done. Instead of providing a service to pilgrims, the merchants were scamming people to make a profit. Part of the scam was the currency. The Roman coins had a picture of Caesar's on it, and therefore the religious leaders deemed the Roman money worship of a false god. The solution was the person had to exchange their Roman currency for temple currency. The problem was that the exchange process was corrupt. Half of the money the worshipper showed up with was taken by the money exchangers. The emphasis on making money instead of serving others was unacceptable. Though Jesus is not described as being enraged or out of control, it's easy to see how forceful Jesus was in this situation. This is also one of Jesus' first opportunities to predict his death and resurrection. Most who heard him to be able to rebuild the temple in 3 days assumed he was speaking of the brick and stone temple. And after his resurrection, the disciples will realize that Christ was speaking about his own body, destroyed and restored after 3 days. Now, the disciples figured out exactly what Jesus meant once he was raised from the dead. Jesus knows who we are, and the only way we can be in the presence of God is through Jesus Christ, the great I am. And it's fitting that we close in watching another clip of David Bowden in the word poetry of the great I am. I think some of you guys have seen it before, but it is a powerful message of the word I am. Jeff, could you show that clip?
We don't have any sound, Jeff.
Before the stars in your sky ever enter. Before fluorescent formations ever fomented the foundations of your firmament, that is, before the stars in your sky ever entered existence, before the light knew what bright meant, before the sky had a clue where up went, before either were ever invented, I am. Before terrestrial perennials terraced your planet's territorial terrain, that is, before the plants in your ground were ever ordained, before roots were ever arranged, before fruit had a taste, before either had a name, I am. Before the ocean had a bowl, before the surf discovered its role, before the grave was made Sheol, before man had a soul, I am. Before Eden was installed, before the garden serpent crawled, before the tree, before the fall, I am. For I am truth, before there ever could be false. I am perfection, before there ever could be false. I am by all, in all, through all, in all, and I am to be called, I am. Before the curse usurped the ground and drove you away from the divine, before you felt this separation between who you are and the intention of your design, before you tried to abide in sources of death in order to find life, before you combined yourself with any form of pleasure you could find, before you felt so alone, before you felt so dry, before you tried to run away from my side, I am the vine. Before the cherubim ever guarded the garden, before the flaming sword was ever sharpened, before that chasm between God and man was ever widened, before you lost all hope in becoming a citizen of heaven, before all you earned was endless flame, before all you deserved was righteous pain, before you were a sheep hoping not just to be some lion's prey, before you were a lost lamb longing for a pen, longing to escape your fate, I am the gate. Before sustenance turned to gluttony and food became an enemy, before attraction was based on anatomy and sex was removed from matrimony, before money became pain, morality and greed grew into the only causality, before you were empty without me, before you tried to satisfy your appetite with anything, before you strive to feel alive by filling your strife with the fleeting vices of your fleshly devices, before your hunger for relief left pangs in your side, I am the bread of life. Before you became acquainted with pain and death, before you ever tasted loneliness, before disease destroyed what you possessed, before eyes could go blind, before ears could go deaf, before you lost the one you love to the grave's unyielding cleft, I am. For before mankind stopped living so that they might just survive, I am the resurrection and the life. Before that sadness that grips your mind led you to darkness and thoughts of suicide, before that distortion of man hurt you so that you now hurt yourself, before you knew razors and wrists could create a new hell, before those wounds turned to scars and those scars became a way of life, I am the light. For before you even knew how to sin, I am where your salvation begins. For before you withdrew from the path of my way, before you willfully and joyously disobeyed, before you betrayed the gift that I gave of that breath in your lungs, that life in your airways, by saying no to my love and yes to your heresy, before you engaged with the enemy, waged in sin with intensity, before you deranged my supremacy, inflamed my jealousy, before you chose greed over my adequacy, lies over my accuracy, pride over my advocacy, before you chose your sinful self over me, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. For before you were a spotted lamb, I am. For I am the way before you could ever run away from my call. I am the truth before you could ever walk away from my law. I am the life before you could ever turn away from my cross at Golgotha's skull. So I beg you now to withdraw. Withdraw from your sin, for I am your only temptation. Withdraw from yourself, for I am making you a new creation. Withdraw from your pride, for I am ruining your reputation. Withdraw from your self-righteousness, for I am your only mediation. Withdraw from your hopes and dreams, for I am your only expectation. Withdraw from your life, for I am your crucifixion. For before all time, I am all sufficient. Before all titles and designations, to my name alone did the cosmos listen. For I am Jesus, I am the Word. word. I am Elohim, I am the Lord. I am the Christ, I am Messiah. I am Creator, I am Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lamb of God, I am Emmanuel. I'm the begotten Son, I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the first fruits, I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Bridegroom, I am the King of Kings. I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Jacob. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I'm the Holy One worthy of praise. So withdraw to my side, withdraw and be made mine. Withdraw and with me stay, withdraw into my way.
Thank you for watching. What's that? Oh, thank you for watching. Okay, I know it was a bit disjointed as well, but I think it's worked out well. I mean, it's got the hiccups, but we've certainly been able to conduct the service online, which is good. Okay, I'll hand over to Jeff.
Thank you, Ed. That was great. And I can't see what you're seeing in terms of the video. So if you have feedback, let me know, because I want it to be as smooth as possible. Hey, this isn't ideal, but hey, we should celebrate and be thankful that we can see each other face to face. We do know that each other, that we're all in John studying together, learning about Jesus. John, I mean, I don't know about you, but just learning and focusing on Jesus is just what I need right now. And, you know, he turns water into wine, and he knows, you know, we see a lot in John about the hour is not yet, or the hour, now's the time. And so Jesus does have this coronavirus under control. He knows the right time when it will stop. If you know Daniel Defoe, he wrote Robinson Crusoe. Another book that he wrote was called The Journal of the Plague Year. And it's about the plague in London in, I think, the 1660s. And what's interesting about that book is he lists the number who are dying. He lists, you know, he's very factual about everything. And you get to the last few chapters, and that plague actually somehow they didn't, he writes in the last few chapters, it just basically stopped on a dime. It's really bizarre reading that book and how it ends. And if you get it, you can probably find it free online. But if you read the last couple chapters of Journal of the Plague Year by Daniel Defoe, it shows that God has these things under control, and he can stop it whenever he wants. Part of me thinks that it needs to go on longer because our hard hearts as human beings need to be softened more and more. I'm not saying that I like what's happening, but God, I think, is working on people's hearts. So let me just give a few announcements, and then I want to see if there's things that we can pray for. So I'm going to share my screen again.
What?
One second here.
Off us.
Share. There we go. Okay, so just a few quick things to keep in mind is, you know, keep checking on each other regularly. If you think there's someone falling through the cracks in our fellowship, particularly the our older members, make sure you're calling them, providing food for them if necessary. Does anyone have any concerns that there's someone out there that we're not ministering to or connecting with? And you might need to turn your thing on if you do want to share. So if there is someone, either reach out to them yourself or let someone who can connect with them know, and we'll reach out to them. I do think Beverly is out of the hospital, but she might be a little bit hard to connect with. So keep trying. All the Bible studies will be the same as usual this next week. And then we have three other options that you can tune into. The first is on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. My good friend Brendan, he goes to Henley Riverside Chapel, and he works with Celebrate Messiah New Zealand. He's a graduate of Moody Bible College, and he's going to teach for 4 weeks on messianic prophecies in the Torah, and that will be every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8. And I'm going to ask him to leave maybe 10 minutes at the end open for Q&A. So I've advertised it on Facebook. We'll see how many people show up for that, but you're definitely invited. And then Wednesday, I will be teaching on topical studies in John. That's where we go a little bit deeper in theology based on the chapter that we're in John. So for example, this Wednesday, I'll be focusing on the deity of Jesus throughout the Bible as a doctrine, you know, more systematic theology and not so much inductive Bible study. So we will go into, we'll probably talk about the Chalcedonian Creed, and we'll talk about some of the liberal attacks on the deity of Jesus.
I think Jeff's frozen.
He's frozen. Can we send him a message and then?
How do you do it?
What's his name? Shane's frozen.
I think Shane.
He's been signed.
Where'd he go? I miss you, son. Okay. Do you supply football to everybody?
Oh, they actually just gone.
Yeah. Bye.
Oh, we're over. We're finished.
See you later, guys.
Must have clicked
off. I don't know what happened. I'm on the big screen.
I know. Well, we can click off. Is everyone going? Are we clicking off?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meeting as usual. Plus some more.
Okay. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Both the sandwiches. Is it?
Yeah.
Everybody.